Coffee with Fleur podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on the lands on which we've recorded each episode, which is the Boonwurrung people, and we pay our respects to their elders, both past, present and emerging.
Welcome back to Coffee with Fleur. Hello, Fleur.
Hello, David.
We're back
should
in
be
the
coffee with Fleur and David. Really,
well, I don't know. You know, you're the star.
Because you know, are you having coffees with anyone else that I don't know about?
Well, this is a whole other podcast. No, I'm not. Fleur, I wouldn't compare you to anyone else.
You're trying to make that segue.
You see what I did there? That's what a professional podcaster does.
So, David, I know that you're keen to discuss the topic of social comparison. So something I hadn't really thought about very much. So I'd be really curious to, where did this sort of thinking and why are you keen to talk about this, I guess is what I'm asking.
Aside from an awful dad joke, tenuous link like that, it's something that's been on my mind. It sort of came from the episodes we've done on social media in the past. I'm trying to opt out. And escaping the hedonic treadmill is a subject that I've been on my mind. Now, what does that mean? It sounds
technical.
What on earth
that?
Are you talking about, David? Well, it really means being content with what you have and having gratitude for what you do have, such as family, health, connection, rather than more material things that others have.
Right.
So just being comfortable with where you're at, what you have and how you lead your life, and that in turn gives more satisfaction and higher well-being. Hopefully that sort of explained a little bit of how this came to my mind and what it means, and we can get into a little bit more detail on it. Back in the 70s, there was some research done by Brickman and Campbell, and they did a lot of research about people who experience different things and life-changing effects, whether positive or negative, and how they then naturally rebalanced to roughly where they were before.
Right.
So what I mean by this is they looked at some lottery winners.
Yes.
And they had some people who had had more traumatic life-changing events. And they found that no matter what circumstances they had, people kind of returned to their pre-event happiness over a few months or years.
Right.
And it was a bit of a recalibration. And the subjective well-being that people were experiencing was really about the decisions they were making and what they were doing, whether they were content and gratitude for what they had. So maybe you're a lottery winner. Yes, I've won millions of dollars, but am I any happier? If I had a traumatic accident or something, well, maybe you then recalibrate, well, at least I still have my family. You know, you come back to not comparing yourself to others.
Yes.
Naturally over time. I guess in this world we live in now, we're bombarded with comparisons, aren't we? We only have to open our phones or a computer or switch on the television, and there's advertising everywhere that people want to sell us the latest handbag, the new phone, the bigger car.
Something I've never heard of before.
Yes.
Whereas apparently I needed this thing that I didn't know existed.
Oh, you need that thing, Fleur. Yeah, absolutely. And you can buy it now straight away online, the bigger house, you know, we're always looking. Oh, we'd be happier if I could get this or I could get that next thing.
Yes.
Whereas I guess this subject and this research is telling us that maybe we don't need that thing. Maybe we have enough. Maybe we don't need to compare ourselves to others, and that what we have, if it's what we need, is enough.
Yes.
So that's where this is all coming from.
Okay. And I think it can extend beyond material things because sometimes the comparison can be performance, you know, or perceive. It's a lot of this is perception.
Yes, so
it's
absolutely.
How we perceive what something or what someone else has, whether that's a material thing, whether it's an experience they're having, whether it's a level of success they've had. We're looking at these things and it's saying, oh, hang on, I don't have that. If I had that, they look really happy or content, or there's all this perception of what their experience is because of these things, and then I must, you know, I don't have that experience, so I must be missing out. So when reality is, we don't know what their experience actually is, even though that might be projecting excitement, joy and so forth, and they could be feeling that. We don't know all the other things that they might be experiencing. We don't know perhaps the hard work and the failures maybe that they experienced along the way to achieve some of the things they've achieved, and so forth. So it's almost like a bit of a mind game that we're playing with ourselves in the comparison aspect, isn't it? And I have heard that lottery, it might not have been that research, but that lottery winners who over a short or a period of time, they kind of end up, like you say, back to where they were in. They lost the money, or they
weren't,
you know, they didn't know what to do, weren't wise enough on how to, you know, maybe because it just landed in their lap versus they didn't do what they, you know, other things to get there. But yeah, it's
an
interesting. We cause our own challenges sometimes in our thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. I was watching something from Rachel Smith, who's a lecturer in international business and an author and a TEDx speaker, and she was talking about this comparison, and she said that copying others means you live in their shadow.
Yeah,
you follow them. So think of Insta, your new handbag, new car. There's always someone, as you say, projecting a lifestyle which may be or may not be real, that you're living up to. So Rachel says the question is, do you want to be a follower for the rest of your life? Does that feel good? Does it make you happy? Or does it create a gap? A gap that makes you feel unhappy that you're not living that life?
Yeah.
And what can you do about it? And, you know, to her, she said, just stop comparing yourself to others. And it may be easier said than done.
Yes.
But it highlights the point that gets you thinking about, okay, what am I experiencing here? Yeah. What am I consuming? And what effect is that having on me?
Yes.
And certainly from my experience, I don't watch television. And I do. I don't have social media. I think we established that before. And so actually, I don't actually see that much advertising. So advertising is a great way of trying to sell you something that you don't currently have, obviously.
Yes.
But it's selling you a lifestyle that maybe you should aspire to.
Yes.
In their world. But what happens if you opt out? Maybe you don't have to live your life like that. So it's fascinating to take a step back and think about it.
Yeah. I think it's sometimes not even selling us something we don't have. It's selling us the better version of something we already have. So it's
good
almost
point.
Promotes us to feel dissatisfied. And I think the new mobile phone thing is an example of that, where we might already have a mobile phone and a new model has come out, and so it's like, well, don't you want this new model? It's awesome. It's got this thing and that. And I know, I don't know about you, David, when I've actually relented and gone, yes, I need that new model, and I've gotten it, I'm actually not as satisfied as I thought I would be after the fact. And that's actually been the case with a lot of things that I've purchased, thinking I need them, maybe because of advertising or other reasons. But after the purchase, maybe I've been excited for a little while, and then that really dissipates quite quickly, that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I don't really go for the new thing that much, right? So I use the example of the new phone. I buy a new phone when my phone breaks and does not work.
Yes, I think that's smart, actually.
So I don't go for the latest model just because it's the latest model. I mean, I'm sitting here before you. I've got glasses which are probably cost-effective. They're made from recycled materials, but that was more important to me than fashion. Mm. The T-shirt I'm wearing, can you see where that comes from? It's
a farmer's market?
Yeah.
The Byron Farmer's Market.
Byron Bay Farmer's Market.
You went all that way to buy a T-shirt.
Because I wanted to keep up with the people in Byron. No, I was there and saw the T-shirt.
Actually, like, I'm trying to work out how old it is, or is that just how long the...
It's only a year old.
Oh, okay. Sorry, everyone. It says since 2002, so I thought that was the age of the T-shirt. And I was going to say, it is
I'm really opting out of this new stuff. No, so what I mean by referencing that is that it's not a fashion label. Mm. It's just I was there, I liked the T-shirt, I bought the T-shirt. That was good enough for me. A really good example was when I swapped jobs and really I had to realise I had to drive to work. Mm. And we actually had a conversation in our house, which was, we need to buy a car so I can get there. And I looked at the smallest car I could find, and others were saying to me, well, you could get this car, you could get that car.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, but it's just a car. I just need to get from A to B and, you know, carry a bit of stuff. That's it. I don't need this amazing car that others have. I don't need a big vehicle for that. I just need it to do its job, and that's it. So what I've found is that I'm totally content with that. And it's very rare that I look at advertising and then suddenly go, oh my goodness me, this person has got something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how much more satisfying that is.
Yeah.
And content in my well-being is because of that.
Yeah.
And the other person I'm reminded of is James Clear.
Yes.
I'm sure everyone knows, author of Atomic Habits.
Yes.
It's everywhere. I heard him on a podcast and he said, was talking about this, and he said, it's like the old computer games. I decided to make my life a single player game, not a multiplayer game.
Mm. Yeah.
And if you decide to opt out and only have what you need rather than what you want, then to me, I'm perfectly satisfied with that. I'm very grateful with what I've got.
Yes.
And I'm not comparing myself to others and potentially having that gap Rachel talks about, where I'm unhappy about what I haven't got.
Mm. And it's very interesting to talk about, because I actually think it's okay to have wants, but it's also important to challenge yourself on those wants and what you actually think you're going to gain from attaining that. So, I don't know if it's our age too, David. Like, sometimes it's easier.
Could be.
for us to say these things being a little bit older, because I think when you're younger that you have more,
and
you haven't necessarily got the experience or, you know, and so forth. But, it makes me think of, I'd done a little bit, not a lot, I wouldn't call myself an expert at all in Buddhism, but in Buddhism there's a saying that suffering is from desire, or desire causes suffering. I forget which way around you say it. Mm. But it is, it's like our brains are seeking pleasure all the time. It's kind of avoiding pain and seeking pleasure, and that dopamine is what encourages us to seek that pleasure. And I think that's what advertising taps into, is that part of our brain that wants to seek that. But that dopamine hit only lasts really once we purchase the item, and then it really dissipates, a bit like buying this phone and thinking, oh wow, and then within a short period of time those good feelings kind of dissipate. And I think that's that, then that desire, which is kind of that dopamine seeking, that pleasure seeking hormone, is that thing that causes suffering if we give in to it, I guess, is maybe the thing for us to consider. So it's more about questioning ourselves, saying, I can identify, I'm noticing that this is the feeling I have, that I want this thing, but let me take a step back and say, how long is that feeling going to last? Particularly, say, for, like using your example, buying, so say if you bought that more expensive car, would the feeling of getting this new car outweigh perhaps the burden if you had to take like a loan to get that car? Precisely, so the burden might have, you know, so all of the things that the I guess the pain we might put ourselves through from all these things that we might try to attain rather than recognizing we're already pretty good with what we have, like that gratitude, I think.
Was it Teddy Roosevelt who said comparison is a thief of joy. Yeah, so, and I guess this can be in our social lives, it could be in our professional lives. You see people projecting all the time about their successful careers, and if you just get up the ladder one more rung then everything would be better. Probably not. It's just probably loads more work, loads more stress.
Yes. It's not a one-way thing, is it? Often whatever we want or attain, it comes with a trade-off or
a cost. Absolutely. Sometimes. And that trade-off's really interesting, and it's something our listeners could do. I was really thinking about what exercise could we offer our listeners for this. And I think there's something around wants and needs, that if you have a little piece of paper in front of you or a screen open, have two columns. One is what do you need and what do I want? What do I need and what do I want? And if you just list out the basics that you need in the need column and your desires in the want column, you end up with two different things, lists there. And then ask yourself the question, what do I actually need and is that good enough? And you might find things moving from your wants to your needs, or maybe your needs, what you thought was a need, into a want. And then work out, okay, well, how much do I actually need to have a satisfying life and the gratitude for what I have? We may find that it's a surprising result. Yeah. So it's a nice little 15-minute exercise for someone to do, I think.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Fleur. That was really great conversation. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll have many more. But thank you for having a chat today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to go off and have a bit more of a reflection next time I'm like considering buying something that maybe I want rather than what I need.
Well, there you go. There you go. Thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
All right, David. See you next time.